Hello and welcome to this Beyond Exploring session. And today I'm going to have to be very careful when I say the title to make sure I get the correct title. The play is The Play of Wit and Science, made by Master John Redford, sometime either in the 1530s or the mid 1540s. The precise date is slightly fiddly and complicated and questioned. There are certain dates when people think it definitely wasn't, and some dates when people think it was, and there it depends very much on your opinion. The reason why I mention that it's important to get the title right is because this is essentially the first iteration of this play. The Play of Wit and Science appears first, but further down the line there are the Marriage of Wit and Science, that appears about 20, 30 years later. And there's also a similarly various Marriage Between Wit and Wisdom, which has some connection with this play. That is something we will be exploring further on when we get to those plays, and we will be able to compare and contrast with this, which seems to be the earliest iteration. The text is also, unfortunately, slightly damaged. We don't have the first few pages, so it behooves me to give some sense of what's going on before we start, before I introduce you to the readers. So what's going on? Well, it's a quest to find the dragon's treasure. No, that's through the dragon's eye, sorry. It is a quest to some degree. The character of Wit, who is the son of nature, wants to marry Science, who is the daughter of reason and experience. But reason only will agree to the marriage if Wit overcomes a monster. So there is that sort of what's being set up at the beginning, that Wit wants to get married and reason, who we're about to meet, is less keen on that as an act without some payoff. And more details on that will be forthcoming. To guide us through this text, we have a fabulous team of readers. So, reading the part of Wit, who's desperate to get married, is...
Hi, I'm Steve Longstaff. I'm a scholar of early modern drama based in Lancaster in the UK.
And playing the parent of science, reason, and also experience in this reading is...
Hi, I'm Claire Richardson, an actor and fight performer based in London.
And reading various parts, instruction, idleness, and also the affections of Wit, science, playing science, will be...
Hi, I'm Greg and I'm from Berkshire.
Also reading lots and lots of parts, reading confidence, tediousness, that monster tediousness, ignorancy, and riches is...
I'm Alex Scott Fairley. I'm an actor from the Highlands of Scotland.
And reading the parts of diligence and fame is...
Nuno Meireles, PhD candidate in materialities of literature from Porto, Portugal.
And finally, reading study, honest recreation and favour is...
Liza Graham, actor, singer and Renaissance text coach in London.
And I'm your host, Robert Crichton. I'll be reading the stage directions and any part that I've forgotten to pass out to anyone else. Occasionally also any part that when they talk to themselves. You don't quite have enough people to be doing this play properly tonight, but we are going to plough through regardless. So we jump into the play after the lost opening. And say we're at this position where Daddy Reason is giving a reason to Wit to go off and do his quest, and he is handing over a looking glass of some description. I believe that's what's going on. I may be wrong. We'll find out in a moment. So prepare to be discombobulated as Reason's dialogue begins here.
Then, in remembrance of reason, hold ye a glass of reason, wherein behold ye yourself to yourself. Namely, when ye come near my daughter, Science, then see that all things be clean and trick about ye, lest of some sluggishness she might doubt ye. This glass of reason shall show ye all. While ye have that, ye have me, and shall. Get ye forth now. Instruction, farewell.
Sir, God keep ye.
And here all go out except for reason.
and ye all from peril. If any man now marvel that I would bestow my daughter thus basely, of truth, I, Reason, am of this mind. Where parties together be inclined by gift of graces to love each other, there let them join the one with the t'other. This wit such gifts of graces hath in him that maketh my daughter to wish to win him. Young, painful, tractable, and capex, these be wit's gift which science doth axe. And as for her, as soon as wit sees her, for all the world he would not then lease her. Wherefore, since they both be so meet matches to love each other, straw for the patches of worldly muck, science hath enough for them both to live. If wit be through stricken in love, as he since hath showed, I doubt not my daughter well bestowed. The end of his journey will prove all. If wit hold out, no more proof can fall. And that the better hold out he may to refresh me soon, wit, now, by the way, some solace for him I will provide. An honest woman dwelleth here beside, whose name is called Honest Recreation. As men report, for wit's consolation she hath no peer. If wit were half dead, she could revive him. Thus it is said. Wherefore, if money or love can hire her, to hie after wit, I will desire her.
And so their Reason goes out. Confidence cometh in with a picture of wit.
Ah, sir, what time of day is it? Who can tell? The day is not far past, I wot well. For I have gone fast, and yet I see I am far from whereas I would be. Well, I have day enough yet, I spy. Oh, wherefore, or I pass hence, and now must I see this same token here, a plain case, what wit hath sent to my lady's grace.
And he examines his packet.
Now, will ye see a goodly picture of wit himself, his own image sure, face, body, arms, legs, both limb and joint, as like him as can be in every point. It lacketh but life. Well, I can him thank. This token, indeed, shall make some crank. For what would this picture so well favoured, and what would those sweet words so well savoured, distilling from the mouth of confidence, shall not this appease the heart of science? Yes, I thank God I am of that nature, able to compass this matter sure, as ye shall see now who list to mark it, how neatly and featly I shall work it.
And confidence goes out. Wit now cometh in without instruction, his servant, but with study and various other people's.
Now, sirs, come on. Which is the way now? This way or that way? Study, how say you?
Study, reflective.
Speak diligence while he has bethought him.
That way, belike, most usage hath wroth him.
Yea, hold your peace. Best we here now stay for instruction. I like not that way.
Instruction? Study? I mean, we've lost him.
Ah, but you haven't, for instruction cometh in.
Indeed, full gently about ye have tossed him. What mean you, wit, still to delight, running before those, still out of sight, and thereby out of your way now quite? What do ye here except ye would fight? Come back again, wit, for I must choose ye an easier way than this, or else lose ye.
What aileth this way? Peril here is none.
But as much as your life standeth upon, your enemy, man, lieth here before ye, tediousness to brain or to gore ye.
Tediousness? Doth that tyrant rest in my way now? Lord, how am I blessed that occasion so near me stirs for my dear heart's sake to win my spurs? Sir, would ye fear me with that foul thief with whom to meet my desire is chief?
And what would ye do, you having naught for your defence? For though ye have caught garments of science upon your back, yet weapons of science ye do lack.
What weapons of science should I have?
Such as all lovers of their loves crave, a token from Lady Science whereby hope of a favour may spring, and thereby comfort, which is the weapon doubtless that must serve you against tediousness.
If hope or comfort may be my weapon, then never with tediousness me threaten. For as for hope of my dear heart's favour, and thereby comfort, enough, I gather.
Wit, hear me. Till I see confidence have brought some token from Lady Science, that I may feel that she favoureth you. Ye pass not this way, I tell ye true.
Which way, then?
A plainer way, I told ye, out of danger from your foe to hold ye.
Instruction, hear me, or my sweetheart shall hear that wit from that wretch shall start 1 foot, this body and all shall crack. Forth I will, sure, whatever I lack.
If ye lack weapon, sir, here is one.
Well said, diligence, thou'rt alone. How say ye, sir, is not here weapon?
With that weapon, your enemy never threaten. For without the return of confidence, ye may be slain, sure, for all diligence.
Good, sir, and diligence, I tell you plain, will play the man or my master be slain.
Yea, but to what? Saith study no word to this.
No, sir. You know, study's office is meet for the chamber, not for the field. Tell me, study, wilt thou now yield?
My head acheth sore. I would we return.
Thy headache now. I would it would burn. Come on. Walking mayhap to ease thee.
Good boy.
And will ye be gone without me?
Yea, by my faith. Except I ye after. Reason shall know ye are but an after.
And exit wit, study, and diligence, leaving instruction alone.
Well, go your way. When your father, Reason, heareth how ye obey me at this season, I think he will think his daughter now may marry another man for you. When wits stand so in their own conceit, best let them go. Till pride at his height, turn and cast them down headlong again. You shall see proved by this wit plain. If Reason hap not to come, the rather his own destruction he will sure gather. Wherefore to Reason will I now get me, leaving that charge whereabouts he set me.
And exit instruction, but tediousness cometh in with a visor over his head.
Oh, the body of me! What caitiffs be those that will not once flee from tedious's nose, but thus disease me out of my nest when I should ease me this body to rest? That wit, that villain, that wretch, a shame take him. It is he plain that thus bold doth make him, without my license, to stalk by my door to that drab science, to wed that whore. But I defy her, and for that drab sake, or wit come nigh her, the knave's head shall ache. These bones, this maul, shall beat him to dust, or that drab shall once quench that knave's lust. But ha! Methinks I am not half lusty. These joints, these links, be rough and half rusty. I must go shake them, supple to make them. Stand back, ye wretches, beware the fetches of tediousness. These caitiffs to bless, make room, I say, round every way, this way, that way, what cares what way, before me, behind me, round about, wind me. Now I begin to sweat in my skin, now my nimble to make them tremble. Pash head, pash brain, the knaves are slain, all that I hit. Where art thou, wit? Thou art but dead. Off goeth thy head at the first blow. Oh, ho, ho, ho.
And wit speaketh at the door.
Study!
Here, sir.
How doth thy head ache?
Yea, God, what, sir? Much pain do I take.
Diligence!
Here, sir, here.
How dost thou? Does thy stomach serve thee to fight now?
Yes, sir, with yonder wretch, vengeance on him that threatens you thus, sets even upon him.
Upon him, diligence, better nay.
Better nay, study, why should we fray?
For I am weary, my head acheth sore.
Why, foolish study, thou shalt do no more, but aid my master with thy presence.
No more shalt thou neither. Diligence, aid me with your presence, both you twain, and for my love, myself shall take pain.
Sir, we be ready to aid you so.
I ask no more, study. Come then, go.
Tediousness rises up.
Why, art thou come?
Yes, wretch, to thy pain.
Then have it thee.
Have it thee, again.
And here wit falleth down and dieth.
Lie thou there. Now have it, ye caitiffs. Do ye flee, i'faith, or whore some thieves? By Mahoon's bones, I had the wretches tarried, their necks without heads they should have carried. Yea, by Mahoon's nose, might I have patted them. In 20 gobbets I should have squatted them to teach the knaves to come near the snout of tediousness. Walk further about, I trow now they will. And as for thee, thou wilt no more now trouble me. Yet, lest the knave be not safe enough, the whore son shall I bear me another cuff.
And he striketh him.
Now, lie still, caitiff, and take thy rest, while I take mine in mine own nest.
And exit tediousness, and here cometh in honest recreation, comfort, quickness, and strength, and they go kneel about wit, and they sing a lovely song, which, for some reason, is just checking how this is... just seeing how it's laid out there. Yes, so this is a lengthy song, which I'll ask one person to do, because it doesn't go desperately well if we try and sing all at the same time. At the end of the song, this song is going to bring wit back to life. So wit is lying there on the ground. Who wants to go for the song? You don't have to sing it. Unless you really want to.
Shall I just read it?
Yeah, you go for it.
Okay. Give place to honest recreation. Give place, we say now, for thy consolation. When travel's great in matters thick have dulled your wits and made them sick, what medicine then your wits to quick? If ye will know, the best physic is to give place to honest recreation. Give place, we say now, for thy consolation. Where is that wit that we seek then? Alas, he lieth here, pale and wan. Help him at once now, if we can. Oh, wit, how dost thou? Look up, man. Oh, wit, give place to honest recreation. Give place, we say now, for thy consolation. After place given, let ear obey. Give an ear, O wit, now we thee pray. Give an ear to that we sing and say. Give an ear, and help will come straightway. Give an ear to honest recreation. Give an ear now for thy consolation. After ear given, now give an eye. Behold, thy friends about thee lie. Recreation I, and comfort I, quickness am I, and strength hereby. Give an eye to honest recreation. Give an eye now for thy consolation. After eye given, an hand give ye. Give a hand, O wit, feel that ye see. Recreation feel comfort free, feel quickness here, feel strength to thee. Give an hand to honest recreation, give an hand now for thy consolation. Upon his feet would God he were, to raise him now we need not fear. Stay you his hands while we him bear, now all at once rah, upright him rear. Oh, wit, give place to honest recreation, give place, we say now, for thy consolation. Now, wit, how do ye? Will ye be lusty?
The lustier for you needs be must I.
Be ye all whole yet after your fall?
As ever I was, thanks to you all.
And we're just going to briefly pause there. So we're about a quarter of the way through. So much happens in that song. So many people are doing so many things. And we have this resurrection action. We've gone through a lot of quest business. A lot of setup was quite unclear at the beginning, but that's just because we haven't got the setup for the setup, if that makes sense. And then we have a sort of signpost scene, don't we, where they'll go, which direction are we going? Who do we go for? The most monstrous tediousness. Lovely work from tediousness there. I love that as an idea, as a monster. The tediousness monster. It's almost Douglas Adams-esque, isn't it? any general thoughts about where we are? Any confusions? Anyone lost?
Only that I was surprised that they'd kill the hero character straight away. It's great that they resurrected him, but it's like, oh, that was an unexpected death.
Yeah, tediousness one. Wits nil.
Is this the St. George play then?
Yeah.
It's a sort of Village Green thing, isn't it?
Mm. It seems to be playing around with that. I mean, it's playing around with similar things that you get in much later on with as well in, say, Old Wives' Tale. You know, it seems that this play is doing that game with old, you know, folk plays and stories that that other people will pick up later on.
So it feels ever so slightly like Pilgrim's Progress, but with jokes. funny.
Except this is about, it seems less about morality and cleansing your soul and becoming pure than it is just about actually studying and how to keep your mind on the task. I mean, to me, when I read this earlier, it seemed that to my modern eyes, at least, this could be a play for if you're a bit ADHD. As we will see as we go on.
I like that. Yes, it's a focus, concentrate, go do the task in hand.
It's like, no, I'm a bit bored.
Yeah. you know, and the instruction is this, you know, this person, you know, they don't listen to instruction and things go horribly, horribly wrong. How do you fight a tediousness monster? Well, maybe we'll find out. Okay, I only wanted to pause there briefly to note, I think, pretty much what we've noted. It does have that sort of mumming play, sort of St. George's, you know, resurrection element to it that's really, really interesting. But it doesn't hang around on that point. It just gets back on with other stuff happening. But Reason at this point comes in. So Reason at the beginning, who set up this quest, is clearly not very impressed, I suspect. I don't know. Let's find out. So here, Reason cometh in and saith as followeth.
You might thank Reason that sent them to you, but since they have done that they should, do you send them home soon and get you forward?
Oh, Father Reason, I have had a hard chance since he saw me.
I wot well that. The more to blame ye when you would not obey instruction, as Reason willed ye. What marvel though tediousness had killed ye? But let pass now, since ye are well again, set forward again signs to attain.
Good Father Reason, be not too hasty. In honest company no time waste I shall to your daughter all at leisure.
Yea, wit, is that the great love ye raise her? I say, if ye love my daughter's science, get ye forth at once and get ye hence.
And here, comfort, quickness, and strength, all the resurrectors go out.
Well, not all. They go not all yet.
No, will ye disobey Reason, wit?
Father Reason, I pray ye content ye, for we part not yet.
Well, wit, I went ye, had been no such man as now I see. Farewell.
And exit Reason.
He is angry.
Let him be. I do not pass. Come now. A base.
Nay, sir, as for buses, from hence none passes, but as engage of marriage.
Marry even so? A bargain, lo.
What? Without license of Lady Science?
Shall I tell you the truth? I never loved her.
The common voice goeth that marriage ye moved her.
Promise hath she none. If we shall be but one, without more words grant.
What, upon this sudden, then might ye plain bid me avaunt? Nay, let me see in honesty what ye can do to win recreation. Upon that probation I grant thereto.
Small be my doings, but apt to all things I am, I trust.
Then, can ye dance then?
Even as I can. Prove ye must.
Then for a while ye must exile this garment cumbering.
Indeed, as ye say, this cumbrous array would make wit slumbering.
It is gay gear of science clear, it seemeth her array.
Whosoever it were, it lieth now here.
And he throws off, taketh off his gown.
Go to, my men, play.
And here they dance, and in the meanwhile, I should point out earlier that when we're talking about bass, that's Kiss, because Wit is doing naughty things. Here they dance, and in the meanwhile, Idleness cometh in and sitteth down, and when the galliard is done, Wit saith as followeth, and so falleth down in Idleness's lap.
Sweetheart Gramercy.
Why, whither now have you done since?
Yea, i'faith, with weary bones ye have possessed me. Among these damsels now will I rest me.
What, there?
Yea, here, I will be so bold.
Yea, and welcome by him that God sold.
Then a harlot may ye not see.
As honest a woman as ye be.
Her name is Idleness. Wit, what mean you?
Name? What mean you to scold thus, you queen, you?
There, go to, lo, now for the best game. While I take my ease, your tongues now frame.
Yea, Wit, by my faith, is that your fashion? Will you leave me, honest recreation, for that common strumpet, Idleness, the very root of all viciousness?
She saith she is as honest as ye. Declare yourselves both now as ye be.
What would ye more for my declaration than even my name, Honest Recreation? And what would ye more her to express than even her name too, Idleness, destruction of all that with her tarry? Wherefore come away, witch, she will mar ye.
Will I mar him, drab? Thou callot, thou! When thou hast marred him already now, callest thou thyself honest recreation? Ordering a poor man after this fashion to lame him thus and make his limbs fall pale, even with a swinging there of thy tail. The devil set fire on thee, for now must I, Idleness, heal him again, I spy. I must now ill him, lull him, rock him, and frame him to his lust again where thou didst blame him. Am I the root, sayest thou, of viciousness? Nay, thou art the root of all vice, doubtless. Thou art occasion, lo, of more evil than I, poor girl. Nay, more than the devil. The devil and his dam cannot devise more devilishness than by thee doth rise. Under the name of honest recreation, she, lo, bringeth in her abomination. Mark her dancing, her masking and mumming, where more concupiscence than there coming. Her carding, her dicing, daily and nightly, where find ye more falsehood than there? Not lightly, with lying and swearing by no poppets, but tearing God in a thousand gobbets. As for her singing, piping, and fiddling, what unthriftiness therein is twiddling? Search the taverns, and you shall hear clear such bawdry as beasts would spoo to hear. And yet, this is called honest recreation. And I, poor Idleness, abomination. But which is worst of us twain now, judge? Wit?
By lady, not thou, which I judge yet.
No, is your judgment such then that ye can neither perceive that beast, how she goeth about to deceive you, nor yet remember how I saved your life, wit? Think you her meet with me to compare by whom so many wits cured are? When will she do such an act as I did, saving your life when I you revived? And I, as I saved you, so save I all that in like jeopardy chance to fall. When tediousness to ground hath smitten them, honest recreation up doth quicken them. With such honest pastimes, sports or games, as unto mine honest nature frames. And not, as she saith, with pastimes such as be abused little or much. For where honest pastimes be abused, honest recreation is refused. Honest recreation is present never, but where honest pastimes be well used ever. But indeed idleness, she is cause of all such abuses. She, lo, draws her sort to abuse mine honest gains, and thereby full falsely my name defames. Under the name of honest recreation, she bringeth in all her abomination, destroying all wits that her embrace, as yourself shall see within short space. She will bring you to shameful end, wit, except the sooner from her ye flit. Wherefore, come away, wit, out of her paws. Hence, drab, let him go out of thy claws.
Will ye get ye hence? Or by the mace, these claws shall claw you by your drab's face.
Ye shall not need, since wit lieth as one that neither heareth nor seeth. I am gone.
And honest recreation is indeed gone. She exits.
Yea, so, farewell, and well fare thou, tongue. Of a short peal, this peal was well rung to wring her hence and him fast asleep, as full of sloth as she as the knave can creep. How, quit, awake? How doth my baby? Neque vox, neque census by a lady. A meet man for idleness, no doubt. Hark, my pig, how the knave doth rout. Well, while he sleep in idleness's lap, idleness's mark in him shall I clap. Some say that idleness cannot walk, but those that so say, now let them mark. I trow they shall see that idleness can set herself about some business. Or, at the least, you shall see her tried, neither idle nor well occupied.
And she marketh wit.
Lo, sir, yet ye lack another toy. Where is my whistle to call my boy?
I'm just going to briefly pause there because there's a few interesting things in all of that. I want to know what the mark is. What's the mark of idleness? Is she just drawing a penis on his forehead? you know, it's that kind of childishness that one sort of gets there. I was sort of noting after that he's resurrected, part of me was thinking, this is it, you know, we could do this today as a computer game. You know, you failed level one. and then he gets bored and honest recreation is such an odd one because, you know, it's like he wants to flirt and you know, kiss her. And she says, no, we'll dance. And that's the honest recreation. And then when the music stops, Downey plonks onto idleness, who, I'm expecting a lot of making out when our honest recreation is doing that her long speech. I don't know if that's just me.
They are definitely flirting.
There's honest recreation isn't so honest. I feel personally, he's ignoring his better half or his intended, as it were. Liza, you're muted.
Well, honest recreation is muted.
It's true. It's a metaphor. Honest recreation. Basically, you should love honest recreation, but with a pure love, and you shouldn't love her too much. And you certainly shouldn't love her at the expense of your knowledge goals.
Absolutely.
We can be science, and I can be sister wives. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
but not idleness because she's a hoe.
Yeah, there's some really quite not very yeah, there's a bit of shaming going on there. I did like the line tearing God in a thousand gobbets. I think that's a lovely use of the word gobbet. I'm very pleased that's there.
I love that whole, if it's that speech, but the whole of maybe, yes, no, it is. The just the dancing, the masking, the mummy, basically throwing anything at poor old Ollie's recreation, and it, yeah, it was great fun to play that.
Though you don't want to linger too long on that speech like that, because wit is sitting on in your lap, and you know.
Yeah, sorry, Stephen.
depending on who wit is, you might want to linger for quite a while.
Well, exactly. That's one for intimacy consultant when producing. Any additional thoughts about where we are? It's sort of playing around. It's dancing around things quite nicely. I'm enjoying it. It's the quest has been forgotten by our hero, which turns up in quest things. You know, it's when they're driven off the path. He's gone into the woods, people. Any additional thoughts before we crack on?
No.
Okay, so idleness has marked poor Wit, who's asleep. Seemingly on your lap, and then you're going to call in ignorancy. So you're going to whistle. I don't know if you can whistle. Don't whistle; it'll ruin the sound setting. She whistleth, and ignorancy cometh in.
I come.
Come on, ye fool! Or this day, or ye can come to school.
Mother will not let me come.
I would thy mother had kissed thy bum. She will never let thee thrive, I trow. Come on, goose. Now, low men shall know that idleness can confuse somewhat, yea, and play the schoolmistress too, if need be. Mark what doctrine by idleness comes. Say thy lesson, fool.
Upon my thumbs?
Yea, upon thy thumbs. Is not there thy name?
Yes.
Go to, then. Spell me that same. Where was thou born?
Was he born in England, mother said.
In England?
Yay.
And what's half England? Here's Ing and here's land. What's tis?
What's tis?
What's tis, horse? And what's tis? Here's Ing and here's land. What's tis?
Tis my thumb.
Thy thumb. Ing, horse, and Ing. Ing.
Ing, 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 Ing.
Fourth, shall I beat thy nurse now? Shall I not beat thy nurse now? Say no, fool, say no.
No! No, 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 no.
Go to, put together. Ing.
Ing.
No!
No!
The fourth now. What saith dog?
Dog bark.
Dog bark. Dog ran, horse, and dog ran.
Dog ran, horse, and dog ran, dog ran.
Put together. Ing.
Ing.
No.
No.
Ran.
Ran.
Fourth now, what saith the goose?
Lag. Lag.
His sauce and his.
His. His.
Go to. Put together. Ing.
Ing.
No.
No.
Ran.
Ran.
His.
His.
No is a good boy.
Aye, 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 aye.
Go to put together. Ing.
Ing.
No.
No.
Ran.
Ran.
Hiss.
Hiss.
Aye.
Aye.
In no ran hiss aye.
In no ran hiss.
Aye.
Aye.
Ing.
Ing.
Four.
Hiss.
Yay, no, awesome. No.
No, 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 no.
Ing, no.
Ing, no.
Fourth now.
Yes.
Get again, ran, horse, and ran, ran.
Ran, horse, and ran, ran.
Ran, say.
Ran, say.
Ran, horse, and.
Ran, horse, and.
Ran.
Ran.
Ing, no, ran.
Ing, no, ran.
Fourth now. What's in the goose?
Dog bark.
Dog bark. His horse and hiss.
Hiss.
I ing no ran hiss. I
ing no ran hiss.
I.
Hey!
Sayest thou, fool, is not there thy name?
Yay!
Well then, can me that say, what hast thou learnt?
He cannot tell.
He cannot tell, thou sayest even very well. For if thou couldst tell, then had I not, I well, taught thee thy lesson, which must be taught to tell all when thou canst tell right naught.
Ich kann my lesson.
Yea, and therefore shall have a new coat, by God I swore.
A new coat?
Yea, a new coat, bye bye. Off with this old coat, and you go cry.
A new coat, a new coat, a new coat!
Peace, horse and fool. Wilt thou wake him now? Unbutton thy coat, fool. Canst thou do nothing?
I know how cold be.
I know how cold be, a fool betide thee. So wisely it speaketh. Come on now, when put back thine arm, fool.
Put back?
So lo, now let me see how this gear will trim this gentleman that lieth here. God save it. So sweetly it doth sleep. While on your back this gay coat can creep as feet can be for this one arm.
And he putteth wit's gown on ignorancy.
Oh, I'm a cold.
Cold fool, keep thee warm and come hither. Hold this head here, soft man, for waking. Ye shall see one here brought in such a taking that he shall soon scantily know himself. Here is a coat as fit for this elf as it had been made even for this body.
And he putteth ignorance's coat on wit.
So, it beginneth to look like a noddy.
What
ail is now? Fool.
New coat is gone.
And why is it gone?
T'would not bide on.
T'would not bide on, t'would if it could, but marvel it were that it should. Science's garment on ignorance's back. But now let's see what ye lack. Nothing but even to buckle here this coat. So well this is wit becometh a fool's coat.
He is I now.
Yea, how likest him now? Is he not a fool as well as thou?
Yes.
Well then, one fool keep another. Give me this and take thou that, brother. Pike thee home, go.
He'll go tell my mother.
And exit ignorancy.
Yea, do but yet to take my leave, my dear. Lo, but with a skip, what a twain. Hello, and here again, and... Now this heel to bless his weak brain. Now are ye weal by virtue of Idleness's blessing tool, conjured from wit unto a stark fool.
Exit Idleness, and there we must pause to just say how brilliantly constructed that bit of comedy.
has anything even fallen flatter since Death Valley, I ask you?
I'd read it, but it didn't make any sense, and it still doesn't.
It's full of potential as well, because not only have you got the way it's going, but you can also use the no as every so often to just, no! As well as, no. I mean, that could go on for days.
It did.
It was fabulous. There's also clearly ignorancy. Once the coat's been put on him, it just falls off, and it just falls on the floor, and it's just like he doesn't know how to put a coat on. It's like he's tried to put it on. There's all this business of putting it on, and then it just goes. That's so going in one of the live shows, regardless of what we do with this play. That whole scene is just. Perfect.
Do we know if it was written for anyone? A comedy act at the time, or
we think it. I mean, I'm assuming it was just written for Paul's boys.
Yeah, I'm assuming so. Or a boys' company. It feels very boys' company-ish throughout. But it could be for court in general. It might be a mix of boys and adults. I don't think we've got anything particularly definite on it.
I can see.
I don't know. Steven's cogitating. Maybe he knows something.
It was just about History of Fools, really. So we've got quite a lot of records of fools being kept by corporations and local authorities, and so it seems to have been, at least some of the time in some parts of the country, a standard thing. If somebody with what we now call learning difficulties, there were different kinds of ways in which they could be looked after. And one of them was for them to be adopted by a household, by a noble household. And so, you know, people are arguing about the different fools that we know in Henry VIII's court, for example, just how much of art there was in it and how much of it was simply rather like the restricted growth people in the Spanish court in the 17th century, that they were kind of around sometimes at least to be mocked. And so there's a kind of strange doubleness here, because it is such a great comic part, but the comic routines that are there might be based on social routines with people with learning difficulties.
Yeah, later in this play, we'll see a distinction drawn between an innocent, which, as you know, was a name at the time for someone with severe learning difficulties, that they stayed childlike, and the view of them was that they were innocent.
Or a natural is another word.
Yeah. And then, later on, we see, I think, either maybe reason query whether someone is just an innocent or whether he's willfully ignorant, has the capacity to be better but just isn't being. Yeah. And then on top of that, you know, there's the whole fool natural, fool artificial distinction. I don't think we have many fools artificial in this play.
No. We've got another interlude that we've done for the podcast, Witty and Witless, which the entire premise of that is the question of whether it is better to live your life in, you know, blissful ignorance because you might be adopted by a household in the way Stephen's just discussed, or whether it's better to be an intellectual man and have control over your destiny. And that sort of debated at length, and they mentioned Will Summers, the household fool, and the question of distinctions between his life and someone who has more agency over their life.
There are complaints, I think, about some of the court fools that people coach them as well, so that there is that sort of social fooling and natural fooling are just very, very blurry, I think.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, Armin writes about Will Summers as very much as a fool artificial, but there's a lot of sources on Will. He was a popular guy. I'm sure you'll have read more than I have.
Thereby hangs a tale. I've written a paper about it, yeah. But now is not the time to bore everybody with all of
it. Well, post a link in the chat panel or something. I would love to read.
Yes, no, there's. I wasn't expecting this to be quite so fruitful an element of the discussion. Unfortunately, we do need to crack forward, so we may come back to this point as and when it arrives. So, not quite sure where is Wit, just still asleep in the chair, or whether at some point he's going to be got off stage or not. We may find that out in a moment. I don't see a stage direction explaining what happens to him, so we'll find out. However, at this moment, Confidence comes in with a sword by his side and saith as followeth.
I seek and seek as one on no ground can rest, but like a masterless hound wandering all about seeking his master. Alas, gentle Wit, I fear the faster that my true service cleaveth unto thee, the slacker thy mind cleaveth unto me. I have done thy message in such sort that I not only for thy comfort to vanquish thine enemy have brought here a sword of comfort from thy love dear, but also further I have so inclined her that upon my words she hath assigned her in her own person halfway to meet thee, and hitherward she came for to greet thee. And sure, except she be turned again, hither will she come, or be long plain to seek to meet thee here in this coast. But now, alas, thyself thou hast lost, or at the least thou wilt not be found. Alas, gentle Wit, how dost thou wound thy trusty and true servant Confidence to lease my credence to Lady Science? Thou leasest me too, for if I cannot find thee shortly, longer live I may not. But shortly get me even into a corner, and die for sorrow through such a scorner.
And having got no response out of Wit, he exits. Here they we have fame, favour, riches, and worship. They come in with vials, and they'll be followed by experience and science a little later on.
Come, sirs, let us not disdain to do what the world hath appointed us to.
Since to serve science the world hath sent us, as the world willeth us, let us content us.
Content us we may, since we be assigned to the fairest lady that liveth in my mind.
Then worship. Let us not stay here, mute and mum, but taste we these instruments till she come. And here they sing exceeding measure. Who, Alex, if you'd like to read the song.
Exceeding measure with pains continual, languishing in absence, alas, what shall I do? Unfortunate wretch, devoid of joys all, sighs upon sighs redoubling my woe, and tears down falling from mine eyes too. Beauty with truth so doth me constrain ever to serve where I may not attain. Truth bindeth me ever to be true. How so that fortune favoureth my chance? During my life none other but you of my true heart shall have the governance. Oh, good sweetheart, have you remembrance now of your own, which for no smart exile shall you from my true heart?
And experience and science have entered while the singing was going on. The song has ended, and experience and science do some dialogue.
Daughter, what meaneth that ye do not sing?
Oh, mother, for here remaineth a thing. Friends, we thank you for these your pleasures, taken on us as a chance to us measures.
Lady, these are pleasures, and persons too are sent to you, you service to do.
Lady Science, to set forth your name, the world to wait on you had sent me, fame.
Lady Science, for your virtues most plenty, the world to cherish you favour hath sent ye.
Lady Science, for your benefits known, the world to maintain you riches hath thrown.
And as the world hath sent you these three, so he sendeth me worship to advance your degree.
I thank thee, world, but chiefly God be praised, that in the world such love to science hath raised. But yet, to tell you plain, ye for such as science looketh for, little nor much, for being as I am, lone woman, need of your service I neither have nor can, but thanking the world and you for your pain, I send ye to the world even now again.
Why, lady, set ye no more store by me? Worship? Ye set naught by yourself, I see.
She setteth naught by fame, whereby I spy her. She careth not what the world saith by her.
She setteth not by favour whereby I try her. She careth not what the world saith or doeth by her.
She setteth not by riches, which doth show she careth not for the world. Come, let us go.
And having had our beautiful singing ignored, we go out in a huff.
Indeed, small cause given to care for the world's favouring, seeing the wits of the world be so wavering.
What is the matter, daughter, that you be so sad? Open your mind to me.
Oh, my marvel is no less, my good mother, than my grief is great to see of all other. The proud scorn of wit, son to dame nature, who sent me a picture of his stature, with all the shape of himself there opening. His amorous love hereby betokening, born towards me in abundant fashion, and also further to make right relation of all this his love. He put in commission such a messenger as no suspicion could grow in me of him. Confidence. Who I ensue ye with such vehemence and faithful behaviour in his moving, set forth the pith of his master's loving, that no living creature could conject, but that pure love did that wit direct.
So?
Now, this being since the space of three times sending from place to place, between wit and his man I hear no more, neither of wit nor his love so sore. I think you by this, my own dear mother.
Daughter, in this I can think none other but that it is true. This proverb old, hasty love is soon hot and soon cold. Take heed, daughter, how you put your trust to light lovers too hot at the first. For had this love of wit been grounded and on a sure foundation founded, little boy time would have been between ye, but that this wit would have sent or seen ye.
I think so.
Yea, think ye so or no? Your mother experience proof shall show that wit hath sent his love, I dare say, and make you warrantize another way.
And wit cometh forward.
But your warrantize warrant no troth, fair lady. I pray you be not wroth till you hear more. For dear lady science, had your lover wit, yea, or confidence's man, been in health all this time spent, long or this time wit had come or sent. But the truth is, they have been both sick, wit and his man, yea, and with pains thick, both stayed by the way, so that your lover could neither come nor send by none other. Wherefore, blame not him, perchance of sickness.
Who is this?
Ignorancy or his likeness.
What, the common fool?
It is much like him.
By my sooth, his tongue serveth him now trim. What sayest thou, ignorancy? Speak again.
Nay, lady, I am not ignorancy, plain. I am your own dear lover, wit, that hath long loved you and loveth you yet. Wherefore, I pray thee now, mine own sweeting, let me have a kiss at this our meeting.
Yea, so shall I anon, but not yet. Ah, sir, this fool here have got some wit. For you to kissing, sir, nowadays, your mother shall charm you, go your ways.
What needeth all this, my love of long grown? Will you be so strange to me, your own? Your acquaintance to me was thought easy, but now your words make my heart all queasy. Your darts at me so strangely be shot.
But hear ye what terms this fool here hath got?
Well, I perceive my foolishness now. Indeed, ladies, no dastards allowed. I will be bold with mine own darling. Come now, a bus, mine own proper sparling.
What wilt thou, arrant fool?
Nay, by the mass, I will have a bus or hence pass.
What wilt thou, arrant fool? Hence fool, I say.
What? Nothing but fool and fool all this day. By the mass, madam, you can no good.
Art a swearing to? Oh, thou, by my bond! Your foolish knave's breach 6 stripes shall bear.
God's bones, fool and knave, be thee there? By the mass, call me fool once again, and thou shalt sure call a blow or twain.
Come away, daughter, the fool is mad.
Nay, no yet, neither hence ye shall gad. We will gree better, or ye pass hence. I pray thee now, good sweet lady science, all this strange manner now hide and cover, and play the good fellow with thy lover.
What good fellowship would ye give me, whom ye know not another, neither yet I know ye?
Know ye not me?
No! How should I know ye?
Doth not my picture, my person, show thee?
A picture?
Yea, my picture, lady, that ye speak of. Who sent it but I?
If that be your picture, thou shall ye soon ye... If that be your picture, then shall we soon see how you and your picture agree. Lo, here, the picture that I named is this.
Yea, marry, mine own likeness this is. You having this lady, and so loath to meet, to know me, which this so plain showeth?
Why, you are nothing like in mine eye.
Yeah, who? Well, how say ye?
She said, so say I.
By the mass, then, ye are both stark blind. What difference between this and this can ye find?
Marry, this is Claire, is fair, pleasant, and goodly, and ye are foul, displeasant, and ugly.
And marry avaunt, thou foul, ugly whore.
So, look, now I perceive you more and more.
Perceive you? Me as ye would make me a natural fool?
Nay, ye mistake me. I take ye for no fool natural, but I take ye thus. Shall I tell all?
Ye, marry, tell me your mind, I pray ye, whereto I shall trust. No more delay ye.
I take ye for no natural fool, brought up among the innocent school, but for a naughty, vicious fool, brought up with idleness in her school. Of all arrogant fools, thou art one.
Yay, God's body.
Come, let us be gone.
And the two go out.
My sword. Is he gone? You're a vengeance on them. Well, be they gone too, and their heads upon them. The proud queens, the devil go with you both. Not one point of courtesy in them goeth. A man is well at ease by suit to pain him for such a drab that so doth disdain him. So mocked, so louted, so made a sot. Never was I erst since I was begot. Am I so foul as these drabs would make me? Oh, where is my glass that reason did take me? Now, shall this glass of reason soon try me as fair as those drabs that so doth belie me? Ah, God's soul. What have we here? The devil? This glass, I see, hath been kept evil. God's soul. A fool! A fool, by the mass! What a very vengeance aileth this glass. Other this glass is shamefully splotted, or else am I too shamefully blotted? Nay, by God's arms, I am so, no doubt. How look their faces here, all round about? All fair and clear, they, every one. And I, by the mass, a fool alone, decked by God's bones like a very ass. Ignorance's coat, hood, ears, yea, by the mass, coxcomb and all, I lack but a bauble. And as for this face, it's abominable, as black as the devil. God, for his passion, where have I been rayed after this fashion? This same is idleness, a shame taker. This same is her work, the devil in hell raker. That whore ashamed me forever, I trow. Verily, I know. Now it is so, the stark fool I play before all people. Now see it I may. Every man I see laugh me to scorn. Alas, alas, that ever I was born. It was not for naught now, well I see, that these two ladies disdained me. Alas, Lady Science, of all other, how have I railed on her and her mother? Alas, that lady I've now lost, whom all the world loveth and honoureth most. Alas, from reason had I not varied, Lady Science, ere this I'd married. And these four gifts which the world gave her, I'd won too, had I kept her favour. Where now, instead of that lady bright, with all these gallants seen in my sight, favour, riches, yea, worship, fame, I've won hatred, beggary, and open shame.
And on cue, shame cometh in with a whip. Reason followeth him.
Out upon thee, shame. What doest thou here?
Marry, I, reason, bade him here appear. Upon him, shame, with stripes in now smitten, while I rehearse his faults herein written. First, he hath broken his promise formerly, made to me, reason, my daughter to marry. Next, he hath broken his promise promised to obey instruction, and him despised. Thirdly, my daughter's signs to reprove, upon idleness he hath set his love. Fourthly, he hath followed idleness school, till she hath made him a very stark fool. Lastly, offending both God and man, swearing great oaths as any man can, he hath abused himself, to the great shame of all his kindred, and loss of his good name. Wherefore, spare him not shame, beat him well there. He hath deserved more than he can bear.
And Wit kneeleth down.
Oh, Father Reason, be good unto me. Alas, these stripes of shame will undo me.
Be still a while, shame. Wit, what sayest thou?
Oh, sir, forgive me, I beseech you.
If I forgive thee thy punishment, wilt thou then follow thy first intent and promise made, my daughter to marry?
Oh, sir, well, I am not worthy to carry the dust out where your daughter should sit.
I wot well that. But if I admit thee unworthy again to her wooer, wilt thou then follow thy suit unto her?
Yea, sir, I promise you, while life endureth.
Come near, masters, here is one ensureth.
And here cometh instruction, study, and diligence in.
In words, to become an honest man, take him instruction. Do what you can.
What, to the purpose he went before?
Yea, to my daughter, prove him once more. Take him and trim him in new apparel, and give that to shame there to his farewell.
Come on your way, Wit, be of good cheer. After stormy clouds cometh weather clear.
And instruction, study, diligence, take Wit out. I'm just going to pause there before we go into the very final straight, because there's lots of really interesting material came in there. You know, his alleged lover. It suggests there that science and Wit have never met, that this is a match done entirely by pictures. I don't know if it's Tinder or whether it's Shades of Anne of Cleves. Sort of leapt to mind, and then what the mark is now made much more explicitly clear what was done to him while he was asleep. I suspect if I was doing this as a modern production, rather than blackening up his face to make him look a bit satanic, I'd probably just make him into an actual clown. I think we'd probably just paint a clown's face on him and give him an actual clown's nose. I think that might be an interesting way of going. I'm not sure. And then he willingly takes a whipping. Well, he complains a bit.
Well, how willingly is a question?
Well, you know, he does ask for it to stop, doesn't he? And as Liza mentioned earlier, yes, common fool, natural fool is something that is discussed. It seems that Wit was just asleep upstage. He wasn't cognizant of anything. That he hasn't undergone any internal difference. He's just wearing a different coat.
I have a question. So just done a bit of quick Googling, and player Sir Thomas More has got a Wit and Wisdom interlude in it.
It does indeed.
And as we know, a variety of hands are to be found in Thomas More.
Indeed, lots and lots of hands. In fact, there's no point even trying to discuss whose hands it could be.
It's a well enough known play for it to sort of turn up as this weird little sort of improvised thing in 1590s. And I was struck by somebody waking up with some ears in this one. So it's a cultural, if this is a cultural trope that goes all the way back to the 1530s or 1540s,
It's earlier, I think, because you see in illuminated manuscripts, you see fools' hoods with asses' ears.
And yeah.
In between.
Yeah, but he's sort of asleep, isn't he? That's the thing, isn't it? He wakes up with them.
Yes, you're right. That he becomes was the a fool part. Rather than being a natural one by his nature.
And I think it's a question we should ask when we come to the later iterations of the play. Does this stuff continue, and therefore is it a very present in all its different forms, so that it definitely stays in the mind of everyone, because I think Moore mentions there's about seven plays they offer Moore seven plays. This is, I think, the only one that actually could have been performed actually at the same time as Moore or very close to. The others are all printed plays that are a little later in date, so they're sort of anachronistic, but they are plays that people might have seen on the published stalls, you know, outside St. Paul's, the booksellers and all the rest of it. So yeah, it does seem that there is something here. There's so many good theatrical moments in this that are just begging to be done. And it all holds together. The mirror is mentioned from the very beginning and is here at this point for that self-recognition as he gets the look in his face and go, what the hell's happened to me last night? And I mentioned Anne of Cleves actually just entirely, just partly because it feels like a dangerously close reference point to when it could have been written. I don't know whether there's anything on that. But yes, there seems to be a disappointment in finding what your intended might look like. I don't know.
Yeah, science was interesting at that point.
But I like experience's responses to science. So science is having these long speeches and the experience just goes, mm-hmm. So so yeah, there's so much potential here. Any additional thoughts before we go into the home straight, where I suggest will not be quite as fun?
No.
Nothing especially profound other than I really liked Witt's monologue. It sort of had a degree of growing self-awareness that I haven't sort of encountered in these plays before, and particularly with it juxtaposed with the sort of comedy scene of science going, oh, he's gross, take him away. It seems a very deftly written play to me compared to some of the other pieces that we've looked at, which seem a bit more formulaic. This seems to be taking a formula and sort of doing something a bit more fleshed out and a bit more real with it, even though they're sort of trope characters. Just felt like hearing that.
I think that there's a lot more potential weight to what the is happening to characters. You know, there are bits which are obviously very, very funny, but also could have a darker side to their nature as well. And it feels like there is something more going on here than just presenting some hijinks. I agree. I thought that speech is really nicely done.
It was interesting that you mentioned dressing him as a clown, because that's sort of like, I always have weird mental pictures of these plays, and this to me is kind of like a circus act crossed with a Pixar cartoon. Like, that's all I can sort of think of, was that Inside Out one with the character, with the sort of emotion characters being given genuinely fleshed out lives. But also that idea of it being performed in a circus, like Stop the World, I Want to Get Off, that it's sort of the life of man, but done in a sort of circus style, and he's born at the beginning and dies at the end. It just sort of struck me listening to it. And that whole thing of circuses, there's always, I don't know if it's just me, but in circuses there's always some darkness under the comedy for me, and I hate clowns, so that's one.
Well, exactly. I mean, it was just like the idea of, you know, he's been turned into a mime for a section of the play. You know, the what more horrific thing could you do to somebody?
If you didn't have time to do a full clown face, you could always just like take out a lipstick and give him like drunk face. You could rouge, you know, make his cheeks florid and make his nose red and mess up his hair. Give him under eye bags.
Yeah, we're just not going to cover his face in soot, which is, you know, presumably how it was, burnt cork or something. Because I'm not doing the black devil face. I think I'm not going there. Not doing that. Okay, let us, Reason is going to do a barnstorming, exciting speech. I'm sure going to come up any second now. So, Wit's been taken off to be instructed to by the people he sort of told to go away earlier. Let's see where this goes.
Who list to mark now this chance here done, may see what wit is without reason. What was this wit better than an ass, being from reason strayed as he was? But Let pass now, since he is well punished, and thereby, I trust, meetly well munished. Yea, and I like him, never the worse. I, though shame, hath handled him shamefully, or like as if wit had proudly bent him, to resist shame, to make shame absent him. I would have thought then that wit had been, as the saying is, and daily seen, past shame once, and past all amendment. So contrary, since he did relent to shame, when shame punished him even ill, I have, I say, good hope in him still. I have, I think, as I thought, if joined they can, my daughter well bestowed on this man. But all the doubt now is to think how my daughter taketh it. For I may tell you, I think she knew this wit even as well as she seemed here to know him no deal, for lack of knowledge and science there is none. Wherefore she knew him, and thereupon, his misbehaviour, perchance even striking, her heart against him, she, now misliking, as women oft times will be hard-hearted, will be the stranger to be reverted. This must I help. Reason must now walk, on wit's part with my science to talk. A near way to her know I, whereby my son's coming prevent now must I. Perchance I may bring my daughter hither. If so, I doubt not to join them together.
And exit reason, confidence cometh in.
I thank God, yet at last I have found him. I was afraid some mischance had drowned him. My master wit, with whom I have spoken, yea, and delivered token for token, and have another to science again, a heart of gold, signifying plain that science hath won wit's heart forever, whereby I trust, by my good endeavour, to that good lady, so sweet and so sortly, a marriage between them ye shall see shortly.
And confidence exits, which is good, because he's coming back on as tediousness in just a moment. Instruction cometh in with wit, study, and diligence.
Lo, sir, now ye be entered again toward that passage where doth remain tediousness, your mortal enemy. Now may you choose whether ye will try your hands again on that tyrant stout, or else walking a little about.
No, for God's passion, sir, let me meet him. Ye see I am able now for to greet him. This sword of comfort sent from my love, upon her enemy needs must I prove.
Then forth there, and turn on your right hand up that mount before ye shall see stand. But hear ye, if your enemy chance to rise, follow my counsel in any wise. Let study and diligence flee their touch, the stroke of tediousness, and then couch themselves as I told ye. Ye what how?
Yea, sir, for that how, mark the proof now.
To mark it indeed, here will I abide to see what chance of them will betide, for here cometh the pith, lo, of this journey. The mountain before which they must assay is called in Latin Mons Parnassus, which mountain, as old authors discuss, who attaineth once to sleep on that mount, lady science his own he may count. There ye shall have see fought, a fight with no less policy wrought than strength, I trow, if that may be praised.
Ho, ho, ho!
Hark!
Out, ye caitiffs!
The fiend is raised.
Out, ye villains! Be ye come again! Have at ye wretches!
Flee, sirs, ye twain!
They flee not far hence.
Then again, study!
Now, diligence!
Well said, hold fast now.
He fleeth.
Then follow.
With his own weapon now work him sorrow, wit lieth at receipt.
Oh, oh, oh.
Hark, he dieth. Where strength lacketh, policy supplieth.
And so at that moment of pure radio drama there, as everyone's discussing what's happening off stage in the distance, here wit now cometh in and bringeth in the head upon his sword and saith as followeth.
Aye, can ye thank, sirs, this was well done.
Nay, yours is the deed.
To you is the thank.
Aye, can ye thank all, this was well done.
How say ye, man? Is this field well won?
And confidence cometh running in.
Yea, by my faith, so saith your dear heart.
Why, where is she, that here now thou art.
Upon yonder mountain on high, she saw ye strike that head from the body, whereby ye have won her, body and all. In token whereof, receive here ye shall a gown of knowledge, wherein you must receive her here straight.
But sayest thou just?
So just I say that, except ye hie ye, or ye be ready, she will be by ye.
Hold. Present unto her this head here, and give me warning when she cometh near.
And with such a wonderful gift to give his love, exit confidence.
Instruction. Will ye help to devise to trim this gear now in the best wise?
Give me that gown and come with me all.
Oh, how this gear to the purpose doth fall.
And confidence come running back in again.
How, master, master, where be ye now?
Oh, confidence, what tidings bring'st thou?
My lady at hand here doth abide ye. Bid her welcome. What? Do ye hide ye?
And probably because of extreme doubling issues, here wit, instructions, study and diligence sing a welcome my own, and science, experience, reason and confidence come in at the left and answer every second verse. So I'll ask wit to read the first verse here, and science to read alone the other, please.
Welcome mine own. O lady dear, be ye so near to be known, my heart you cheer, your voice to hear, welcome mine own.
As ye rejoice to hear my voice, from me thus blown, so in my choice I show my voice to be your own.
Then draw we near to see and hear my love long grown. Where is my dear? Here I appear to see mine own.
To see and try your love truly, till death be flown, lo, here am I. That ye may spy I am your own.
Then let us meet, my love so sweet, halfway here thrown.
I will not sleep, my love to greet. Welcome, mine own.
Welcome, mine own.
Welcome, mine own.
And when the song is done, I'm sure it's a thing of beauty, reason sendeth instruction, study and diligence, confidence out, thank God. And then standing in the middle of the place, wit saith as followeth.
Welcome, mine own, with all my whole heart, which shall be your own till death us depart. I trust, lady, this knot even since knit.
I trust the same, for since ye have smit down my great enemy tediousness, ye have won me forever, doubtless, although ye have won a clog withal.
A clog, sweetheart? What?
Such as doth fall to all men that join themselves in marriage. In keeping their wives, careful carriage.
Careful? Nay, lady, that care shall employ no clog, but a key of my most joy. To keep you, sweetheart, a shall be fit shall be no care, but most joy to wit.
Well, yet I say, mark well what I say, my presence bringeth you a clog. No, nay, not in the keeping of me only, but in the use of science chiefly. For I, science, am in this degree, as all or most part of women be. If ye use me well in a good sort, then shall I be your joy and comfort. But if ye use me not well, then doubt me, for sure ye were better than without me.
My lady, think you me such a wit, as being affianced with you, and yet with misuse ye? If you don't doubt that, here is one loveth thee more than somewhat. If wit misuse ye at any season, correct me then your own father, reason.
O daughter, can you desire any more? What need these doubts? Avoid them, therefore. By Lakin, sir, but under your favour, this doubt our daughter doth well together. For a good warning now at beginning, what wit in the end shall look for in winning. Which shall be this, sir, if science is here, which is God's gift, be used mere, and to God's honour and profit both of you and your neighbour, which goeth in her of kind to do good to all. This seem to experience, I shall set you forth, which by her to employ, double increase to your double joy. But if you use her contrariwise to her good nature, and so devise to evil effect to rest and to rye her, yea, and cast her off and set naught by her, be sure I, experience, shall then declare you so before God and man, that this talent from you shall be taken, and you punished for your gain forsaken.
Once warned, half-armed, folks say. Namely, when experience shall warn a man, then time to take heed. Mother experience. Touching your daughter, my dear heart, science, as I am certain that to abuse her I breed mine own sorrow, and well to use her I increase my joy, and so to make it, God's grace is ready if I will take it. Then, but ye count me no wit at all, let never these doubts into your head fall, but as yourself, experience, clearing all doubts at length, so till time appearing, trust ye with me in God. And, sweetheart, while your father reason taketh with part to receive God's grace as God shall send it, doubt ye not our joy, till life's end end it.
Well then, for the end of all doubts past, and to that end which we spake of last, among our wedding matters here rendering, the end of our lives would be in remembering, which remembrance which shall sure defend ye from the misuse of science, and send ye the gain my mother to mind did call, joy without end, that wish I to all.
Well said, and as ye, daughter, wish it, that joy to all folk in general, so wish I reason the same. But yet, first in this life, wish I heretofore that our most noble king and queen in especial, to their honourable council, and then to all the rest, such joy as long may rejoice them all best.
Amen, amen, says everyone. And it's good that we actually have a play that actually says, all say amen. We often have a amen at the end of the play, and it's quite nice to have some confirmation that we're all, it is expected that everybody says it. Here cometh in four with viols, and they sing Remember Me, that old dance number, favourite that we're all so we remember so well. And at the last, the choir all make a curtsy and go forth singing. So there's a good sing-song at the curtain call. And if you use science, science will be your comfort and joy, as I'm sure we're all really very aware of in the current crisis. Yeah. Crowbar that one in. Actually, it didn't go superly moralizing at the end. In fact, the sort of overall sort of instruction that the play puts forward is sort of more demonstrated than it is told at you, as it were. It's actually quite nicely balanced, and it is seems to be quite fun. Thoughts about this overall, as we're about to enter extra time?
There's that stage direction, enter shame with a whip, which is basically the template for almost every moral play, isn't it? You know, but the idea is that you sort of realise the social sanction of what you've done. You realise your own stupidity, and that seems to be what happens in that. In that long speech, where he kind of looks at himself in the mirror and so forth. So, I think it's a much lighter touch than we've sometimes seen with these, isn't it?
It's playful. I mean, it's not mocking the genre, but it is playful with it, and there is a lightness of touch to it that I think is really nice. And there's voices off in the background somewhere. I don't know if Liza can hear us. She's muted at the moment.
I have to go in literally 1 minute.
Okay, final thoughts from Liza.
The beating did remind me a bit of Occupation and Idleness, where idleness is transformed after being beaten at school. And, you know... It's screwed up, and it absolutely would not fly, nor should it, by today's standards. But at the time, that was the place they saw corporal punishment as having in the upbringing of a child, which, you know, was horrible and nobody should do it, but it was how they saw it. Have a lovely evening, Robert. See you tomorrow at 2.
See you tomorrow at 2.
Bye.
Ta-ta. Bye.
I think the advantage over this over occupation and idleness is there is very much. Have you learnt your lesson? No, you haven't. We will beat you until you conform. Whereas at least with this, it's a more self-knowing because, of course, everybody's an allegorical figure. And therefore, they're all sort of the elements of the same person, some of them, and even though some of them are sort of external. So there is consent to his beating to a degree. He brings it on himself, perhaps, he said. That said, the definition of what they mean by science, I wonder precisely what is meant by that, because I'm wondering if the word quite means what we're thinking in modern terms it means, or whether there's a... We don't really have the scientific...
Like
no, we don't have the scientific method yet, so, or really very well established. So that's an element for future... For a modern production, I wonder about what we do with that to clarify what it actually means. Thoughts generally before we go into the close the session. Alex, how was tediousness for you? You vanquished in the end off stage pretty much.
Yes.
The most exciting sword fight, and it's described to us by the characters.
It's slightly Monty Python. I agree that I think of the ones that I've sort of read in, it does have a deftness and a lightness that's actually quite engrossing, and it's actually quite relatable, dare I say, sort of in modern terms for all the sort of the constructs of the time that are involved in it. And I think there are things that you could do with it and make it quite visually striking. I know you said that it exists in later iterations. I didn't know whether anyone had attempted reconstructing that lost bit at the beginning, or whether those later iterations give a template of what would have gone before, because that's the only stumbling block that I can see, that beginning is missing, so you don't really know what's been set up there as a reader that doesn't know any of the later incarnations of this. So I didn't know if anyone had attempted to reconstruct that at any point.
I don't know if anyone's attempted to reconstruct this one. I'm fairly certain Edwards Boys did the later one, or one of the later ones. I could be entirely wrong. I'm saying this off the top of my head. Because there are quite a few plays that have a very similar title to this. So that are not related to this as well. They're sort of,
right.
Is a combination title that gets very muddled. So
that aside, I found it's quite a rich play. It has moments of, I think you could absolutely go for broke high comedy, but also actually that the characters do have a degree of introspection and self-reflection maybe, and self-awareness that some of the other similar pieces don't. Just as a reader, so yeah, I think it has legs as a piece. I think it can go somewhere.
No, I definitely, there's a sort of half adaptation in my mind going on at the moment with this, which I find quite interesting, which I wasn't expecting it. I'm definitely nicking the whole Ignorancy name sequence. That's going in a live show, because that is just a 10 minute skit in its own right, which can be done contextless. It doesn't need any
context, though.
It
sounded like Scooby Doo the way you were doing it.
I was doing it like that. The dog in Is It Up? Play. That doesn't really understand anything. It's very limited vocabulary. It's very easily suggestible, but doesn't really retain any information.
Oh dear. Yes.
Well, I was thinking it was very Blackadder in the sense of, you know, what begin, you know, Ice Mode might look like, so beginning with army.
No.
What begins in come here and ends in owl?
oh dear.
I say even around that, I mean the idea of fighting tediousness and linking that within the sort of general theme of, you know, focusing on studies and, you know, and the task at hand is the idea of a tediousness monster is just fabulous. I just love that. Claire, any final thoughts from you?
Yes, I think it's interesting because I think normally in these kind of plays, the father figure is like, go out there and kill this really bad thing. But in this play, he seems to quite like Wit, and he clearly wants Wit and science to be together, but it's like, you need to prove yourself first. You need to defeat these monsters within you, or whatever.
Yeah, he seems to be manipulating the situation, and that whole thing about, you know, did science know that it was him and she was faking it when she pretended not to recognize Wit. And
also Reason keeps coming back and saying, oh yes, I sent these people to help you, and I brought that guy in as well, and oh, here's Shane.
It's a Machiavellian plot to see how Wit deals with these various elements, and he nudges and helps as well as hinders. Nuno, any thoughts from you as we're closing down the session?
Very, 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 very funny morality play. I found retrieving the full issue. I found that full, even although it was brilliant, it was a sketch on its own. Kind of sound poetry piece, but I found that kind of full, naive, full, boyish, very similar to some Iberian end of 15th century fools, kind of. And I disputed the opinion you were talking about a while. That kind of fool is more innocent, is more a shepherd, the shepherd kind. But it's very fun, this play in itself. And and you were talking about the introspection. It's interesting to think if it would be more of a demonstrative way of doing, or rather introspective as the Wit did its monologue. It was kind of, what have I done? No, I'm wrong. That's more our way of thinking right now, isn't it? But good play.
Excellent. Greg, anything last from you? You're showing your head, you're content. Stephen, any final thoughts from you?
The only thing is, we sort of whizzed past it, but the resurrection scene where you talk through what it looks like to resurrect somebody, you know, sort of classic sort of embedded stage directions there. I think, you know, that could be really, really fun in performance, I think.
It's disguised. It's also in song. It's not just that it's disguised in the dialogue. That sequence is a song. So that it's a musical number that they bring him to life with. Mm. And that's a really interesting thing. Claire, I spoke over you.
So yeah, you just reminded me that in that whole resurrection sequence, it really sort of reminded me of The Princess Bride when Wesley comes back, because it's kind of like little bit by little bit that comes back from the dead. So it's like, your ears are right. Your eyes. Maybe your hand. Mm. Could do a lot with that.
And it's also because it's a song, it's, and you know, there's repeated things, given ear, you know, you're wondering whether there's an element of getting the audience to sing something back at them, and, or you know, that there's something there that can be got out of that. And there's a lot to do, you know, and we haven't really talked that much about, you know, we've mentioned in passing, you know, St. George, and they literally say, yeah, by St. George, it's after his resurrector's exit. So, you know, it is there. It's explicitly referencing these sort of folk plays that we don't really have that much on. Unfortunately, the fate of folk drama is that very little of it survives in text. And this is perfect for this week, because we're doing Georgia Green in the afternoon, which is touching on another folk tradition, because it has Robin Hood in it as well. So it's very appropriate this week. It was not planned. It's just entirely random. Anyone got any final thoughts before I close the session?
Cool.
No. Well, I think fair to say that we've found that this was a genuinely very funny. Very interesting piece that could, with the exception of the opening, could be something could be done with that for today. I have in mind a sort of halfway house production that does some darker elements as well to touch on issues that that have dropped or changed meaning, as well as the pure comedy of it all and the moral introspection. I think this has been a very delightful session. I'd like to thank all the readers for joining me today and for their contributions. As we go into housekeeping, we will say goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.